Harness Racing, Victoria wide. RSN 927 is talking trots.
And on this wintry Saturday, g'day from JT. Welcome to this edition of Talking Trots, as I say g'day to Blake Redden and Jason Bonington, all rugged up, lads. Morning.
Morning, JT. Yes, it's been a rough night last night and a pretty cold morning as well. So
John's a real trooper. You can tell he's not well.
Well, he's not well. He's not well and he's blocked up, and there's no doubt about that. But what we do, we're warriors and we're here for the contest and we get rewarded for it, don't we, Baker Boy?
Well, we try.
That's it. Just load it up with Contrail and all of those things. So, I'll get through. I'll soldier on. Okay, the week that was the big news, this was a surprise to me, not so much the sale, but the fact that it's going through immediately. Lazarus is off to the States, will not compete in ID18.
Yeah, it is a real shame for, I guess, people down here that were, you know, loved him, that got to know him over the last couple of seasons, and they came out and saw him at the Hunter Cup and went to the Inter Dominion in Perth to see him, and even the Miracle Mile when he wasn't at his best. But it's official. He's pretty much done from racing down under. He'll have, I think, a four start mini campaign in America at the Red Mile. He'll have a couple of starts in October, and I guess the main aim being that he'll be a dual hemisphere stallion at some stage after that. But it's probably something that was on the radar for a little while now after the Miracle Mile. He'd be sold, as you say, but for it to happen sort of almost immediately and miss that Inter Dominion bond, we've enjoyed what we've had from him, but sad that we won't see him for another season here.
Yeah, very, very sad. And to be fair, I don't think we know the full story now, and we may never know the full story. The question mark, I suppose, over the whole situation is how close to the end was he if he stayed in Australia and New Zealand? Would he have gotten through another New Zealand Cup? Did he have two seasons left in him? Did he have one season left in him? There's certainly been plenty of conjecture around in various media outlets that probably, due to the very hard racing he's had right from his two-year-old season and all the battles that he's been in, potentially there probably only was, I don't know, four, five, six, seven runs left in him and one more season in Australia and New Zealand, which probably makes it somewhat more palatable that we're going to lose him to some degree, because he may not have even got to another Miracle Mile. These are the things, the plots on his copybook are that he never won a Miracle Mile and he never will win a Miracle Mile. No matter what time he runs in the United States, he never won a Miracle Mile and never will. And that he hasn't been able to have quite the same longevity as some of our greats. The difference is he's had longevity in a different way because he won a Group 1 at 2. He was a three-time Derby winner at 3. And he's had majestic 4- and 5-year-old seasons. So he has been at the top in one sense for 4 seasons. But it's a little bit different to the Warriors of old who went around.
Does it give Lenny the Shark a bit of a pump up to see what he's still doing now?
Yeah, amazing, because we know he was a very good 2- and 3-year-old in his own right, particularly a 3-year-old won the New South Wales Derby when trained by John Justice. So he's definitely an old-school warrior, and so is Lazarus. The problem is, I think I tweeted this out, and look, it's exactly how I feel about it, that the heartbreaking element is for the next, you know, whatever it is, next 10, 15, 20 years, you're never going to be able to say that Laz is the best, but every other horse that comes through is going to be compared unfavourably on his best performances. They're always going to say, it's going to be that situation where, you know, we're talking to 20-year-olds in 10 or 15 years, and they're going to say, this is the best horse I've ever seen. And you'll say, nah, he's not as good as Laz. Laz, when he won those New Zealand Cups, and that's an issue.
So then how do you line him up against Blacks of Fake? Assuming, let's say he never runs in America, hypothetically, how would you then line them both up?
Who?
Blacks are Fake and Lazarus.
Oh, you can't. They're almost apples and oranges to some degree. They're both unbelievable stayers, we know that. But one was able to win, obviously, the 4 Inter Dominion titles. I would say, probably, if I had a gun held to my head, I'd lean towards Blacks are Fake, even though Blacks are Fake didn't win the Miracle Mile. The longevity at the top level probably gives him...
But for raw ability, maybe Lazarus.
Maybe Lazarus. And certainly Lazarus can still, in that 3-4 run mini campaign in the States, elevate himself again, just in a different way, if he's able to run a spectacular mile. And I really hope he does, because we've been in different camps on this all the way through.
Yep.
I do believe he's got that unbelievable mile in him. You question that, you think he's a far superior stayer. Well, at least he gets the opportunity, because you'll only be running over short trips on big decks over there in the States.
Time to go to Sweden for Maori Tom. I've got a bit of mood music.
That's very good.
It was either that or Harpo. I'm tipping Amber over Harpo. But this is
Eurovision's on now, isn't it?
I'm sure it is. Semi-finals. I was on Sky.
Jessica Malboy's through. Anyhow, she's off to the Elite Lot.
Yeah, she's this story's ever evolving now because she's over in Amsterdam. Might be in the next, well, sometime today. She'll probably land in Solvalla. I assume she's getting straight on a truck there. So
she'll land in Amsterdam.
She's in Amsterdam already yesterday.
Oh, is she really?
She was in Amsterdam. Okay. So I don't know if she's in Amsterdam for any length of time, whether she's straight on the truck, but she's all set for the Elite Lopet, and it will be a swan song for her in many respects. I think there's sort of some talk of maybe going to Norway. Of course, the Harley Davidson Trot, which Night Pistol won, is I think in the mix somewhere, but it'll probably be a final preparation. I think they've pretty much ruled out Inter Dominion back here in November, so by that time she'll be ready to be sent off to the breeding barn. So I think she's 100-1 with some of the prices. That's, I guess, as far as we know, really, in terms of what sort of chance she has. But I think if she qualifies for the final, it'll be mission succeeded.
I'll tell you what I love. Brent Lilly's got himself a Twitter account. He's posting photos and videos. Fred Cruz, the owner of Maori Time, you could just feel the enthusiasm in his voice every single time that that he speaks about this tour. He's so excited to get over there.
It's going to be
incredible to watch her. I'll tell you what really plays in her favour. I've been alongside Maori Time a number of times on the track at Tabcorp Park Melton and down in the stables, but she's a very, very docile mare, which is rare.
And big, strong.
Great mares.
Travel shouldn't bother her.
Yeah, great mares, generally speaking, as we know, have a bit of mongrel in them, generally speaking. They're usually a bit difficult to deal with. They've got a bee in their bonnet. Well, that's not the truth of Maori Time. She's huge, and she's got a great constitution, but she's not got that volatility. So that is going to really help her on the trip, and she's going to need every little bit of help.
We spoke, want to be gorgeous for her.
Yeah, spoke to Michael Guerin a week or two on the Saturday morning show, and on the Thoroughbred show, A Good Horse, and he sort of said, well, she's about 20-1 to make the final. And that's probably about right, but gee, if she does, everything else is, as you like to say, baker sugar.
Closer to home, Centenario showed he is a horse with a lot of upside, unbeaten from the Emma Stewart barn, and takes a big chunk of stake money from last week's APG final with him.
He does, and he couldn't have been any more impressive. He just dominated from the outset. He raced his way to the lead early when there was some talk that he'd be posted wide, but Chris Alford just sent him straight to the top, and he was able to get a breather through the middle stages and just was dominant all the way to the line. So for him, it's all about now, I suppose, going into a Vicbred Super Series and a Breeders' Crown and trying to keep up for the entire season, which can be hard to do. But right here and right now, I don't think we've seen a better two-year-old just yet, at least on Victorian soil.
Yeah, it's really hard to work out these days, isn't it? Because you have these two halves. You have the Gold Crown and the APG and the things that come before it, and you don't know what's just around the corner in terms of who's going to bob up and potentially raise their hoof, so to speak, for the Vicbred Super Series and the Breeders' Crown, and we know the Harness Jewels are just around the corner. So we can't make any definitive comments just yet, other than to say that Centenario has been able to comfortably handle the rivals that he's met so far. Picket Fence, Formline, Undefeated. The second horse was really good. Hurricane Harley's clearly got a lot of ability. I know Emma Stewart's got a big opinion of Hard Hitter, who also went in that around in that race. College Chapel's got a big reputation from what he's done in New South Wales. So it's a nice mix of two-year-olds. I think people want to tell us this is a golden generation. I'm not committing to that just yet, but I will say that right here and right now, Centenario deserves to be rated as the number one seed.
What else has been happening, gentlemen?
Oh, we should talk about Moonshine Linda for Neville Pangrazio, who only has a small team, but he's done a terrific job. She won the New South Wales Oaks last weekend. It was a great race, Jace. She had every favour, and she did win the race, but there were some magnificent runs outside her. Sassy Pants and Pretty Majestic were both awesome. But as I said, I think nice to pay homage to Neville, who does a really good job with his young trotters.
Yeah, he does a terrific job, has for a very long period of time, usually engages the best drivers to pilot them around. And he's had some really, I don't know whether it's his own breed he's dealing with, because he's had some really nice horses that look like they were going to be very talented horses, but he's had quite a few headstrong sort of nutcasey type something ones, Johnny. A little bit like some of those Illawongs on occasions. But this one is really professional. Like, Moonshine Linda's got really good gait speed. She usually settles particularly well if she hands up in transit, and she can finish her races off with venom. And as you mentioned, really good runs from the second and third horse, particularly Pretty Majestic, who I've got to say, the first couple of starts, you just thought, another nice filly for Antingalino. I don't think anything. Well, maybe you had a slightly bigger opinion, but what she did. And I'm always cautioned to say, or I always caution punters, when they see trotters in particular break stride in races and then make up ground, it sometimes can be deceptive, but the stage of the race in which she broke up or got interfered with and was able to pick herself up and make that ground up in the last 500 metres was really exceptional, and she probably would have won the race in another 100 metres.
Another 5 metres, I reckon she nearly would have won. But we'll get a good line through that with Sassy Pants going around in the New South Wales Trotters Derby tonight as well.
Yes.
Talking Trot, Run of the Week.
Okay, lads, 3, 2, 1, please.
One vote goes to Share the Road. She'll be, well, she did put her hoof up, so to speak, as I've already said today, winning that terrific race last week in at Tabcorp Park, Melton, the Country Club's championship final, defeating General Dodge. And, look, she'll get into the Queen of the Pacific, you would have thought. I don't want to go off half-cocked here if she happens to miss, because we don't know the noms or all the noms just yet. But you'd imagine on the basis of that performance, she'd be very close to it. I'd probably think she's likely to get a run, and you'd love to see her. She's the X factor in a race like that. And Baker, what I learned about her, and I was actually hoping to learn this out of the race, poor draw, she's been used as a bully in a battering ram.
Yep.
And to be honest, I think she got a little bit sick of it by the time she got around to being defeated by Island Special Major at Shepparton. But sitting back in the field, she's strong. She can sustain a long turn of foot, and I reckon she's going to be better. The Queen of the Pacific is going to suit her because she's not going to be the hunted. She's going to be the hunter somewhere in the running line, weaving through, trying to get a run late. And she's got the ability, perhaps not to win the Queen of the Pacific right now, but to show that she is maybe in the best 6 or 8 mares going around in Australia.
I actually had a very small place bet on her with tab.com.au. I think $41 a drum a couple of weeks ago.
In the quap.
In the quap, yeah. But anyway, we move on. Two votes this week is Madiba at Yarra Valley Monday. Now, we've known for a long time he can do things like this, but that was one of the most visually stunning wins of the week for sure, Madiba. He absolutely raced away from his rivals at big odds, and when he gets it right, he's very, very good. Doesn't always get it right, but he did on the weekend. And I think three votes...
better and better.
You were on Sky Racing 2 this night, weren't you, Bond?
I was.
Better and better at Ballarat on Wednesday in one of the heats of the Homegrown Classic. He gets better and better. He's a potential top-line two-year-old star, and his win, although he led, was just... it was very good.
All right, the 3, 2, 1. Then what about the driver of the week?
Comes out of the same program. In fact, the race before, maybe, the other heat of the Homegrown Classic, Mick Stanley with watch lists, some big names in the ownership, as you've mentioned a couple of times, Jason. He just put the foot down at the start. He wouldn't take no for an answer. Hulunin is a horse that has had its issues at the start, on debut in the second half of the race, and then again causing the false start, I think, on the weekend. So he put the foot down with watch list. He made Hulunin gallop, and from there it was a little bit too easy, wasn't it?
Well, certainly put the pressure on to cause the error. And
I think he drove three winners as well.
He was involved in 4 winners on the program, Mick Stanley, and the ownership, we have mentioned a number of times, Josh Jenkins, the Crouch Boys.
Tex Walker.
Yeah. Michael Hurley, and also Matt McLennan, who is a major part owner of Hector JJ. So well done to all the boys. I don't necessarily think he's an A-grader, certainly not at this stage, based on what we saw in that really good race behind Centenario.
I think he might have improved a little bit since then. The Swan Hill win was very good.
He's a nice horse.
Yeah.
He's a nice horse, and they're going to have a hell of a lot of fun, and that's what we need. If you're going to get some top-line AFL footballers into a horse, let's make sure it's pretty good, and I think watch list is at least pretty good, JT.
That would certainly help the sport and the longevity in the sport of these guys, because if it was... only a C1, they probably say, well, we might go again, hey? We'll take a break here on Talking Trots on RSN 927. The other side, we'll take a look at tonight's action, including the Lenny the Shark race, which is, of course, the Bold David free-for-all.
Across Victoria, RSN 927 is Talking Trots. It's how we roll. RSN 927 is Talking Trots.
We sure are. Let's have a look at tonight's action out at Cranbourne. We bounce the ball at 5:23 with a C2, C3. It's over 2,080 at this stage. No scratchings.
A lot of gates bit off the front line here, JT. 5, 10, 4, and 9 are my numbers. If San Domino can bully his way to the front or just zip there, I think he's clearly the one to beat. I was taken with a run of Star of Sahara last time out, though. Has really good ability. Part owned by Harness Racing Victoria board member Peter Watkinson, who I don't know if he'll duck out to Cranbourne to have a look. But
I think even Chairman Dale Monteith is in a horse now, Blazing Cracker with Pete.
There you go.
So
Gary Quinlan trained?
Yep.
Yeah, you like that horse. 5 to beat 10, 4 and 9 round out my top 4. Van Dander's a horse with ability. I haven't really worked him out yet, I've got to say, but in a race of this nature, he's got to be some sort of chance. And number 9, Persimmon, draws awkwardly for its pattern of racing, usually likes things pretty tough and draws on along the poles here with the scratching of St. David's Field or it being emergency. But if it got into some clear air, it would give these a scare. 5, 10, 4 and 9 in the first.
Second event, guys, is a claimer over 2,080, all run.
Yeah, well, it's like a raffle sort of situation where a couple of horses get a couple of extra raffle tickets than the other ones, I suppose. They share it amongst themselves, these claimers.
It's like the NBA draft.
Yeah, NBA draft situation. 9, 5, 8, 7, Classy Western. We'll get on to LeBron versus Jordan at the end of this movie. Classy Western over Might Be Luck. They've both won these sort of races recently. Classy Western, he's got a very special place in my heart. He's been around a long time and he's been a very good horse to me. Number 8, I'm Intense, is also from the Bo Tyndale yard, along with Might Be Luck and Joe Dan, who I've thrown in for 4th as well. So Bo Tyndale's got a very strong hand with 3 of the key runners, but I am going with Alan McDonough to win the race, Classy Western to win 9, 5, 8 and 7.
Third race, guys, is a trot. It's over 25.75.
Kingdom Come to win here, a trial like a beast. Well, it's just a brilliant trial. It zipped through late to win impressively at Tabcorp Park Melton, then on debut at Kilmore, or on its Australian debut at Kilmore last Friday night. It was a very dominant win.
Got he went very rough the whole way, though.
Yeah, look, I didn't feel he was going to gallop, but he and he won the race. Look, if you want to take him on, the ones to take him on with, I think, has got to be Guiltless. He almost always lobs in front in these sort of races from behind the strands. He's a very quick beginner. Kima Frenning will just keep him rolling, I think, and try and get Kingdom Come under some sort of pressure at some point. If that happens, I think he's the major danger. Express Yourself is a nice horse, but does struggle to break through. Will have derived benefit from one run back from a break, and Supplements is also a very quick beginner from the strands, 6, 2, 1 and 4.
Well, I think he's the each way bet in the race, Supplements.
Mm.
Supplements both. Totes on to race 4, guys. Last leg of the early quaddy. It's a pace over 16.09, all starting.
2, 3, 1 and 8. It's likely to be a peg dominated affair here. I maybe have too much time for What's the Catch. I know it's got its little issues, but I think if it leads here, and it should, Short Course Trip Suits down to the ground, just leads and wins here. J. Edgar is a potentially nice horse. I'm not exactly sure where we sit here. It doesn't seem to have a great deal of tactical speed, but can really wind up in its races. So it looks the major threat. Really Under Fire will be in the spot that it most cherishes behind the leader, and will get its opportunity from there with the very impressive young reinswoman Shannon O'Sullivan in the card, and Sunbeat Shadow 3 poles. It would have the ability to definitely, if it was behind the leader, Sunbeat Shadow, I'd give it a really big winning chance. 3 poles makes things harder, though. There is no track in Australia with a more loving sprint lane than Cranbourne. The Mack truck can fit through it.
Numbers, Bottles?
My numbers are 2, 3, 1 and 8, JT.
2, 3, 1 and 8. First leg of the quaddie is a pace, M1, M2. No scratchings at this stage. I and the boss coming off his victory in the Shepparton Cup surely is the one to beat here.
I think that it tells us something. I'm not 100% sure what it tells us, but that the Shepparton Cup winner and the Shepparton Cup third place getter are in an M1 to M2 affair on a Saturday night at Cranbourne. So this would have to be, from a top-end perspective, one of the best M1, M2s you'll ever see in your entire life. And I think they are the two horses, or the only two you really need to include in your first leg of your quarters. On the Boss should really win the race. Little caveat here for those thinking it's a dead set stone cold moral. He benefits from longer trips. That's where his staying prowess, his toughness, his warrior status comes into play. 2,080 metres is probably the shortest middle distance trip for any Victorian track. So he's going to have to get into the race, apply the pressure, use his staying prowess in a pretty short amount of time. Having said that, he's still a clear on top selection. Brello's Pass, it was a career best effort for mine, finishing third in the Shepparton Cup, ultimately beating home Cruz Bromack and not far behind Lenny the Shark. So it goes in. I'm not sure he can cross at the start, but it'll be up on the speed. Highview Rule is an interesting horse. A lot of ability, great deal of high speed, encouraging first up performance. Just needs a little bit of fortune in transit and might be a blowout proposition. And Hoonien, I really never thought he'd be racing as well as he is now. He's right in the zone for Andy Gath at the minute. I think it'll be hard for him to win the race, but he must go in your exotics along with Queen's Advocate, 10-3-4-9.
Same vein as that, Strathlachlan Andy. Maybe not this race, but I think he'll win again shortly.
Yep.
Feature event, the Group 3 Bruce Skeggs Memorial Trotters Cranbourne Cup. No scratchings. Short favourite, Tornado Valley, for obvious reasons, $1.10. Red Hot Tooth, $5.50. $12 for Fabrication.
The odds are wrong. The odds are flat out wrong. $1.10 for Tornado Valley against Red Hot Tooth. Let's go through this. The first time they met, Red Hot Tooth defeated Tornado Valley. Tornado Valley since defeated Red Hot Tooth when Red Hot Tooth, I don't think, was anything no close to right.
Yeah.
She has since had a little bit of a break. She's come back and trialled at Tabcorp Park, finishing off her trial in 56.44, her final half. They don't go quicker than that, the Trotters. Look, if she got across him at the start, and that's very dubious whether she can, I think she'd be the one to beat. If she doesn't get across him, things become obviously a great deal harder. But I've marked them $1.40, $2.50, and that is much, much more representative of what they should be in the odds. And I think you'll find there will be a drift on for Tornado Valley, and money will come for Red Hot Tooth. Into the Unknown's a clear third pick. Twice a silver medalist behind Tornado Valley in recent weeks. And Fabrication can't win the race, but has good tactical speed. 4, 5, 1, and 2.
Baker Boy?
No, he summed that up really well, so I'm happy to stay out.
So saying Nick Quinn got it wrong.
Well, we know Nick Quinn oversees it. They go through him before any of the markers come out, so
Trent
I'm declaring
Langscale
definitely.
Was the speedstar man the other night, so he might be making his way onto the big scene.
Oh, yeah, I think Trent's more discerning than Nick. On to race number 7, guys, third leg of the quaddy. They're all starting. Who wins?
Probably Beach Surge. He's the best horse in the race, and I just think he'll spear across them. Katariera is likely to be out after going around in the Angelique Club pace last night at Tabcorp Park Melton. So the major danger, if there is one now, Hezatoff, who's beautifully bred out of the former Gunmare. I loved Glenfury Alexis, and Hezatoff's taken a while to hit its straps, but from the pole marking draw, great gate speed, could be the fly in the ointment for Beach Surge. Outside of them, no other winning chances. Most Happy Cullen is racing at the peak of its powers, but I don't think it can lead, and I think it needs to lead to win its races at this level, and the High Roller goes in for fourth with the likely scratching of Qatari Yara. 5, 1, 2, and 6.
Trifecta 5 to beat 1, 2, 1, 2. Won't miss.
5, 1, 2, and 6. 5, 1, 2, 1, 2 for the Baker Boy trifecta in race 7. Other features, the Bold David Free for All, Lenny the Shark $1.20, Maxi Man $8, Sam's the Master $10, and Clancy's Fob Wash at $10. Well, punters and race girls are going to treat tonight seeing the great horse Lenny the Shark go around.
I'm a great believer that the entire narrative as we head towards the Inter-Dominion should be based around Lenny the Shark. He is a champion by any measure of the word. He showed first up from a break in the Shepparton Cup. Age has not really wearied him too much. It was a wonderful performance. He's becoming dour and tougher as he gets older rather than having that blistering speed probably. But look, Tornado Valley was $1.10, should be $1.40, $1.50. Lenny the Shark's $1.20, should be $1.04. He could not lose this race. He could run it 100 times, he'd win it 100 times. So he's a clear, like, he just wins. Forget that. We need to find the exotics. I've gone for Sam's the Master for second because I reckon he gets across them at the start and then hands up to Lenny the Shark. And from there, I can't see how he misses the silver medal, though. Clancy's Fob Watch is one that you really like, Baker. I'm not sure he's racing as well as he was a little bit earlier in the season, but he's got that great turn of speed and he's an established horse at this level. Maxi Man goes in for fourth, 7, 4, 5, 6.
Happy to be one out in the quaddy and just watch him and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Okay, and let's strike the golds. An early scratch in that race, race 8, number 3. Ninth event, guys, is a 3-year-old trot over 1609.
I think we both like Morgan Miley. I think she's the best horse in this race. All the Moves finished second to Pretty Majestic, and we've just pumped up Pretty Majestic a little bit earlier. And All the Moves is a good progressive customer, has the gate speed to lead for as long as it likes here. But I just got a funny feeling Morgan Miley might outclass it. It was really good in a top form race behind Majestic Player 2 starts back. Pretty Majestic was also in that affair from memory. 4 over 1, 4 over 1, 6 and 5. Angel's Breath and Meadow Valley Sky rounding out my first four.
No strong opinion on the race.
Second last, guys, race 10. Pace CO2080 is the trip.
Nifty Jolt leads, it'll win. If it doesn't lead, the only two potential assassins to my eye are Aussie Pride and My Two Eves. Both of those horses will be breaking their duck sooner rather than later, particularly Aussie Pride. But as I mentioned, if Nifty Jolt can spear across them, and really Young Jane is the only one he has to get across, and if he does, it'll win the race. I've thrown in Young Janey for fourth. Drill It to Bits is obviously an interesting X-factor commodity. Trotter turn pacer who's only going to get better at the pacing game, you would have thought, and will win races down the track. But for tonight's assignment, 6, 4, 5, and 1.
Total Moral will be $1.30.
Total Moral. What price?
It'll be about $1.30.
I've marked it $1.70, so he's getting a bit of sugar with me.
Okay, $1.70 from Bodders, $1.30 for you, Blake. You're going down the Trent Legscale line. And the last is race 11, 4 years and up, COC1. Who wins?
Probably Reclusive. There's only two horses to jump off the page, Reclusive and Ferris Fella. Ferris Fella has got better gate speed and is third up from a break, so should be ready to peak. But I just think Reclusive's probably racing a little bit better, and I will have three to beat four. One Tough Nut, second up from a break, goes in for third, and It's the Emblem rounds out my first four, three, four, five, and seven in the last.
I'd just be a little wary of Freddie Fudd-Pucker if he finds his best.
Great name.
Yeah, absolutely, be careful with it.
Cracking name. Best bet time.
Bakes?
It's probably a hard enough night for best bet, to be honest. I like the trifecta with Beach Surge to win, and He's a Toff and Most Happy Cullen to run second. I'll join you with Red Hot Tooth to beat Tornado Valley at $5.50 and supplements each way early on the night.
I reckon you can play a really skinny quaddie here. 10 into 4 and 5 into 5 into 7. And if you really wanted to, and you wanted to take Tornado Valley 1 out and not heed any of my advice, you could just about go blank here, 1 into 1 into 1 into 1. So if you want to play some nice skinny quaddies and get it for a massive percentage, that might be the way to go at Cranbourne tonight, JT.
Where do we get the form?
Goodform.trot.com.au, and coming off the back of a really good night last night, hopefully we can maintain the rage at Cranbourne this evening.
Well played, lads. Enjoy the night.
Thanks, JT.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, boys. Well, that's it for another edition of Talking Trots. JT saying a very good morning to you. Andrew Hughes has the latest in the world of sport in a moment, and then Greg Miles to join you with Trainer Talk, looking at today's action out at Caulfield.
You can hear the replay of the best of Talking Trots at rsn.net.au.